Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Game, the football podcast from The Times. Gab Marcotti is away, so you have me, Max Rushton, a football podcast host journeyman, the Wayne Biggins or Neil Redfern of pods. I just want to get game time and I don't care where I have to go to get it. On today's pod, Jose says United aren't coping with the pressure of Watford away. Man City clearly do cope with the pressure of Bournemouth at home. Everton, Spurs, Arsenal and Liverpool all look quite good. And it's crisis for Stoke, Palace and Sunderland. On today's panel, football's James Scowcroft. Hello, James.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, yourself?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Football Writings, Ollie Kay on the line. Ollie, hello.
Good morning.
Where are you in your house presently?
I'm presently in the kitchen.
Okay. Do you have an Arga?
Do you know what? I do.
No, of course he does.
We knew it.
I've never confessed that before.
this is the gentrification of football. Right. It's a disgrace. And the devilishly handsome Julien Laurent. How are you, Julien?
Very good, and you?
Oh, you look great.
So do you.
Oh, thanks very much. Shall we start at Vicarage Road, gentlemen? Watford 3, Manchester United 1. Obviously, we want to spend most of the time talking about why Manchester United lost. Does anybody have any good words about Watford first? James?
Plenty of good words about Watford. Watford, especially the front two, I thought we were outstanding yesterday, and possibly haven't really got the credit that they deserve. It's all been about Manchester United and Jose, and now the wheels have come off. But I thought Watford were fantastic yesterday, and Ngualo and Troy Deeney up front really led the line really well, and just never let United settle. Similar to last season, they started really well last season and tailed off after Christmas, and finished really sort of sluggishly. Really, can they keep this up for the rest of the season? Watford, time will tell.
Julien,
I just thought they're very well organised. You know, Mazzarri, maybe not a lot of people knew about him before he got the job and before he came here, and he can't speak English yet, or at least not in his interviews. But I think he got his team perfectly ready for this game, for the Chelsea game, where they were unlucky not to get anything out of it. And I just think the three at the back works really well. And I saw on a TV show last night, someone said it was a back four. It was not a back four. It's a back five. And I think it shows that, you know, even in the Premier League, it can work very well with five at the back.
Yeah, they're very sort of rugged team in some ways. They're very, very physical, but they're also very well organised. They're intelligent, and they work very hard. And, you know, when you've got all of those four things, it tends to take you a long way. I mean, we've mentioned defence, but I never think Troy Deeney gets enough credit. I think if he was a more fashionable club and maybe in a more forgiving time where there were fewer strikers around, I think people will be talking about him as an England squad player. He can't be far away from that. Although you look at him as a, you know, fairly kind of basic in some ways, he's very clever.
All right, that's enough Watford. Well done. Manchester United. Look, Jose is right to be angry, isn't he, that in the first goal, because Martial was kicked over. Whether Martial should have been on the pitch anyway, because he was concussed, is, well, we can start with that one. Julien, he shouldn't have been there anyway, should he?
I don't think so, no. I think it was pretty clear when you were watching the game that he didn't really look fine to get back on the pitch after that head clash, or it was not really a proper head clash with Yanma, but it was, you know, it was clearly hurt and he was clearly a bit dizzy. And when you see again, when he's trying desperately to follow the finger of the club's doctor, and he's clearly struggling. You're thinking, like, why did you put him back? There's no point of that. And then whether it's a reason why he didn't deal better with that ball, because he should have cleared the ball pretty quickly, you know, and easily, you still don't know until, he might tell the story one day. But it was, I don't think he should have been there, and obviously that had big consequences on the game.
Yeah, Jose said he didn't see it.
Is there any precedent of Jose and doctors, James? I don't know if there is.
Not that I can think of, really. No.
Can you think of one, Ollie?
I think Jose's a big believer in the idea of doctors having the final say over his team selection and tactics. I think he's fully respected.
Have the wheels come off United, Ollie? Three defeats in a row.
If you look at the first three games of the season, they won and got some praise for the Southampton game, not particularly for the other two games, but the last three performances have been fairly awful, really. And it comes back to me for the sort of question of the balance of the team, the balance of the midfield in particular. I know people are going to be screaming, Rooney, that it's all about Rooney. And look, Rooney is a big issue, but I think the use of Pogba is a big issue. I don't think Fellaini is any kind of partner for him. And I just look at that team as being one that's, full of big, powerful players, but has none of the tactical intelligence that you would normally associate with a Mourinho team. It doesn't have much energy to it. And it's just it looks to me like a slow team, which lacks guile as well, and that's not a great combination. You look at what Guardiola's done at Man City, you look at what Klopp is trying to do at Liverpool, what Pochettino is trying to do at Tottenham, and United just looks slow and cumbersome and rigid in some ways, but yet not organised, and it's a bad combination.
Julien, if you were Jose Mourinho, what would you do right now?
I would bench when Rooney, obviously. Ollie and I talked a lot about this after the England game, the Slovakia-England game a few weeks ago. We disagreed a little bit on when Rooney. I just think that he needs, just for now, it's just not working out for him. Wherever he plays, it's just not working out. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. Doesn't mean that he can't come back into the team at some point. But right now, he doesn't bring anything good to the team.
But Jose said he's not here to play in midfield.
Yeah,
and what was he doing yesterday?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure. I would bench Fellaini as well. Fellaini is not a holding midfielder. We have to stop with that. He started there, his career, in Belgium, where it's probably easier to be a holding midfielder in Belgium than in the Premier League. He's just not a holding midfielder. He just can't do the job. He can't run. He can't tackle. He can't really defend. Yeah, if we win the ball in the air, on a goal kick, for example, that's hoofing towards him. But that's it. He just can't play there. I would put Daily Blind, with Paul Pogba in midfield. If Mourinho wants to play two, personally, I think he has to play three in midfield to get the best out of Paul Pogba and get better players around him. Because like Oli said, Fellaini is not the right partner for Paul Pogba. And I know the 89 million and I know this, he should do better wherever you play him, whoever you play him with, blah, blah, blah. I understand. But it's for every job, if you put in the right conditions, in the right context, you're going to do better than if you're not. Simple.
So beautiful when you're passionate, Julien. James, you're shaking your head.
Manchester United have got their best midfield player in the last 10 years on the bench, Michael Carrick, and he would be ideal for the system they're looking to play, and alongside Pogba as well. I would actually, they're playing 4-2-3-1. Instead of playing the 2 and the 1, I would play a 1 and a 2. I think they only need one holding midfield player, and I think two advanced midfield players would give them a little bit more. I think it would help Pogba, and I think Carrick is perfect for that role. Why Michael Carrick's not in the team?
He can't run anymore.
Well, Fellaini can.
No, but that's what I mean. I would have neither of them.
Well, he's never been able to run more. Julien. He's never really, since he's a young kid coming on, he's never been able to run. But he is probably one of the best players in the Premier League, certainly over the last 7-8 years, receiving the ball off the back four and playing forward. Okay. And Fellaini doesn't do that. I think Fellaini, sometimes there's a role for him, there's a place for him, but they've got Michael Carrick there. Why he doesn't play him, I don't know.
But even that, with that change, Ollie, would that make Manchester United play the sort, because it is a more ponderous football to all the other sides that are meant to be challenging?
Yeah, and it's almost as if you look at the last few years of United, the post-Ferguson years, or you could even say the final year or two of Ferguson, even though they won the league very comfortably, it has been ponderous. It's almost become, in the Van Gaal years, it looked ponderous by design. It looks ponderous by design now. It looks like what I can't understand with Mourinho is that he had pretty much 6-7 months to concentrate on the idea of becoming Manchester United manager, and he's gone in with big ideas, clearly, but he's, I don't think anybody's got any criticism of the players he identified as being important. Mkhitaryan, if he plays in, Bailly, Pogba, Ibrahimovic, but there's been this feeling, looking at United the last few years, that they've really lacked energy, they've lacked real spark, real creativity, And I find it surprising, well, really surprising, that a manager like him, who has always prided himself on that kind of tactical intelligence in his team, has gone into it. He's gone into the season with Pogba and Fellaini as a two in central midfield. It's baffling because, you know, you could imagine some managers doing that, some managers who don't treasure tactical intelligence like he usually does. But it's baffling in this case because Pogba can do almost everything. He's a great all round midfielder, but he's not a wonderfully intelligent footballer. I'd say that was perhaps the one thing he lacks. So he needs somebody alongside him who can kind of guide him through the game. Carrick would be a good short-term solution, but, you know, the Carrick of 3 or 4 or 5 years ago would be ideal, but I still think the Carrick of now would be a lot better than the Pogba option, or perhaps even the Blint option. I don't know. I don't understand it, though. I don't understand how Mourinho hasn't seen what everyone else could see, or everyone else should have been able to see, when he had so long to see it.
We've done just enough Manchester United to upset the fan of every other club to say, why do you only talk about Manchester United? Let's move on to the other games on Sunday. Spurs-Sunderland should have been about 10-0, shouldn't it, Julian?
It should have been, yeah. It should have been. It's just hard to understand how Spurs are struggling to score so much when they've had, especially last season, an amazing goal-scoring record, in the way that they didn't need 20 chances to score one goal. But that's exactly what happened yesterday. I thought against Monaco in the Champions League on Wednesday, it was quite similar. They struggled a bit more to create, but when they had a chance like the one for Harry Kane in the second half, they couldn't take them. And I think it's quite worrying. I don't think Jensen is ready to.
He doesn't look great to me.
I was not a fan even when he was back in the Netherlands. I'm still not a fan, and I just don't think he has the. He's not a Pochettino's player. I understand he's a different profile than Harry Kane, but for me, it doesn't suit the way.
Does he remind you of a young, 2016 James Scowcroft? Is that?
Yeah, I would say that. I
would be on my cutting.
Yeah, Gav said that.
Did he?
Yeah.
It's with my lawyers at the moment.
Scowcroft was not impressed.
Funny. Now I realise Gav said it. I'll take it all back. James, what do you make of Spurs yesterday?
I think echo what Julian said, really. I think they were excellent in parts. Why they don't score more goals, certainly at the moment, is baffling. I thought Lamella can do anything, can't he? Look, the real deal. They're so reliant on Harry Kane, and you have to say Harry Kane's ankle injury didn't look good.
No, they're assessing it today. What did you make of Sissoko? Because in the Euros, Julia, I had to Google to check it was the same Sissoko. I was like, I know that's Sissoko, but I've just got to be sure that there aren't two, because he was so different. I think he does look like he will give Spurs something different.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it was a clever signing. I think the way they put him out of away from Everton was very clever as well. Obviously, he was on the motorway on his way up to Liverpool, and then turned around to go and sign for Spurs. But Sissoko is a great guy. I think he's a very good player when he wants to be. And that's the thing. At Newcastle, there was too many games where he didn't really want to be. He didn't want to be there. He didn't really like the different managers he had at times. And obviously, he said himself last week, playing, fighting against relegation is not what he wants to be part of. And, that's a bit, you should do your best for your team, whether they play for Champions League for the title or not to go down. But he clearly didn't like it over there. And it's a completely different game for him, I suppose. And I think they will see a very good Moussa Sissoko with them. I think he's perfect for what Pochettino wants. Once again, he's perfect for that team to play on their right-hand side. He brings something different than Lamella, different than Son, different than any of the other players who could play wide, and I think is very good for them to have that option.
Ollie, any thoughts on Sunderland?
Yeah, they were very limited in terms of ambition. I mean, it looked like their plan was to put 10 behind the ball and just hold on and cling on and hope that a chance fell to Defoe. Moyes admitted afterwards it's not really an ideal recipe for success, but he said, that's what we are at the moment. I thought Pickford, the young keeper, did well, kept the scoreline respectable. In fact, kept them in the game for an hour. But it's once Spurs scored, there was no doubt about the outcome whatsoever. So they never really threatened after that. You wonder what would have happened if Spurs had scored earlier, had shown a bit more conviction in the penalty area, because it probably could have been embarrassing.
Palace 4, Stoke 1. Stoke have conceded 4 times in 3 games already this season. We've only played 5, James. So if we work, hang on, if we work that out, how many times are they going to, 30 times or something in the season, they'll let in four. That's not the Stoke that I know.
Well, they get relegated if they carry on doing that. No, it isn't. And it must be alarming for Mark Hughes. I know they had a poor start last season, but just watching the game yesterday, they just looked out of sorts at Palace, and just normal routine set-piece goals that they conceded as well, which, you know, watching Stoke over the years, you just wouldn't have them down for that. You know, the people like Shawcross and Walters and people like that, really solid pros that just don't give goals away like that. They need to stop it. Because the Premier League is very unforgiving, really. But, you know, they need to turn this round ASAP. But credit to Palace. Back-to-back wins now. Just gets them out of the rut that they were in as well.
I thought Andros Townsend should have gone to the Euros, you know, mainly because if Sterling wasn't playing well, which he turned out he didn't, you needed someone else with pace. It's almost surprising he left Spurs, because he seems quite Pochettino-esque in his style. I know he had that row with the fitness trainer, but he looked very good yesterday.
Yeah, he looked really good. Although Pardiola at the end said, well, you know, he was not brilliant, but he did some good things. And I was like, well, that's a bit harsh. I think he's a very good player for a team like Crystal Palace. And he's a good player for a team like Spurs, if you see what I mean. I don't think he's one to start every game for a team that challenged for the top four, top six, or even for the title. I like him, but I think he's a bit limited, despite all the work rate, despite a great left foot, a great right foot as well on the goal.
Limited in what area?
Tactically, I think. I think even physically, I think he's a bit one-dimensional.
He tries to do too much. Every time he gets it, he tries to do the same.
Yes, thing. A bit. And I do think that he's a very good player for... You know, he's a big fish in a small pond.
He'd be annoying to play five-a-side with, because he'd never give it first
no,
time.
No, never.
Really, I'd be like, yeah. Andros.
He would be on your one-touch wavelength.
No, he wouldn't be. We couldn't work together. It's been said that he's in a room somewhere else saying exactly the same thing. We respect each other, but Townsend and I could not work well together.
What's his criticism of you, then?
You know, lazy... banter merchant, you know, that you'd never be Lovejoy, all those kind of things, you know.
I did hear that he did say that he doesn't go that far on holiday is what your first touch is.
How dare you? I see.
But I can't,
because I repeated
that.
A Gab Marcotti gag. I'm already sort of dealing with that process myself. Ollie, you don't want to talk about that game at all, do you?
I think most has been said.
Okay.
I think it's a nice summary of Palace's best win in ages.
Stirring a hot pot on your arga as we speak. Southampton 1, Swansea 0. I'm very pleased for Charlie Austin, because he's a nice fellow, scored a couple of goals in midweek as well. Julien, give us a Claude Puel rundown. Just, you've probably done it before, but just 2 minutes to entertain me.
Yeah, but it's a bit like Pogba. You know, people were really sure of criticising Claude Puel by saying, oh, they haven't won any game. Just give the guy a bit of time. You know, it's not easy when you come from Ligue 1 to the Premier League, a club like Southampton as well, who, you know, lost a great manager, lost Sadio Mane, for example, probably their best player. And you have to rebuild in a way. You sign a very good player from France, Sofiane Boufal. He's not ready until mid-October. So you need to adjust all those things. And Claude Puel is a very good manager. He has a very good record in France with young players, with more experienced players. He played, you know, in Europe. He won things. He's very well respected. He just needed a bit of time. You know, his English is not great, but things are getting better. We saw that in the Europa League on Wednesday. You saw that again on Sunday. And I think it's very good. It's a bit more positive now. There's a bit more dynamic. The momentum is getting there. So I hope he has a very good season, because he deserves it.
They could have scored a lot more as well.
Yeah,
they've
played
some good
really
players
well.
He's your friend as well, isn't he?
But it's not, because he's my friend. We get on and we know each other quite well.
If he was rubbish,
I would say.
Dinner.
Would you invite each other around for dinner? Do they go to dinner?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
At each other's houses, or is it more a restaurant?
No, restaurants in south of France.
Okay. Yes, where Claudad is...
Just once or regularly?
No, once. We speak. He's very happy to be here. He always wanted to come to the Premier League. The Premier League was always his ambition, if you want. And I think Southampton is the perfect club for him to come to this.
Did you text him yesterday to say well done?
Not yet.
Will it include emojis?
No emojis. Okay. Claude doesn't do emojis.
Claude doesn't
really
do emojis.
No, and no kisses either.
Important to find
that's
out.
A bit, yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
just
no,
one
no.
kiss.
No, no, no,
very,
no kisses.
How very non-French of you guys.
No.
Right, let's go to Saturday's games. Consummate at the Etihad, City versus Bournemouth. Ollie, what did you make of this?
I thought they were extremely good without being quite as impressive as they had been in that first half at Old Trafford the week before. Guardiola was sort of moaning about some of the defensive aspects of their play and saying that they haven't pressed quite well enough. And that shows, you know, the word perfectionism is used probably a bit too much when we're talking about managers, but he is a perfectionist and he wants the perfect performance and he wants it week in, week out. And he's getting a lot closer to that than Manchester City have got for a long time. I mean, City have got an extremely good squad, have had an extremely good squad for the last few years, but Guardiola is getting so much more out of so many players. De Bruyne, Sterling, even people like Otamendi and Kolarov, who were just written off by some people previously. He's just got the whole thing looking like a supremely well-oiled machine. And so just watching the highlights is a joy with City at the moment, because the football they're playing is beautiful at times.
How does a manager, James, do that? Did you ever have a manager come in, perhaps not at Pep's level, but just someone who just changed one or two things? Or is it just purely a personality thing that they look at him and go, he's a genius, so I'll do what he wants?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think everyone sort of knows Pep for his style of football, but I think his disciplinary side and everything, I think, gets overlooked sometimes. I think he's very, very strict. I think they train very, very hard. They had a very high work ethic, and he focuses just as much out of possession as what he does in possession. Like Ollie's just said there, you know, he wasn't quite happy with the way his team pressed. And I think sometimes you look at Pep and you think, oh, he's just wonderful, reinvented the wheel, passing, but I think there's so much more to him.
People saying Kevin De Bruyne's the greatest performance of a player ever in the Premier League. Is that sensationalism?
Yeah, a bit, but that pass for Gundogan is just from another planet. It's just, I don't know how many players could hit that pass in the world. Not many, but
Fellaini.
Fellaini yeah. Probably.
Yeah. You self in five-a-side.
You probably, yeah, Scowie. It's just, he waited perfectly. The weight on the pass is perfect. It's just, it's like, the space opened it for him. And Gundogan's run was perfect as well. And I think when you put clever players together, it works much better. But the thing about Pep, I think, and that's where you see great managers for me, and that's where maybe you have to wonder if Jose still has it in the way he used to. You know, like James was saying before we started recording, it's still a long way to go, and United will come good and this and that. But you improve the players who were already there. That's what that's what a great manager does.
They haven't really been tested yet, have they?
No.
I know Old Trafford was a test. Yeah, it was, but United are all over the place at the moment. Yet to see, you know, go to Anfield. Even a Chelsea, to see a game you think, well, yeah. Go on then, can you do it in this game? Because there's a couple
sure.
of games.
Yeah, for sure.
Sunderland at home, first game, late winner. West Ham a little bit, wasn't quite convincing as well.
The first half against West Ham was pretty good, I think. But just my point was, you improve the players you have. Mm. You know, if you look at Jurgen Klopp, Ollie, just let me finish. If you look at Jurgen Klopp, I think Klopp has improved someone like Adam Lallana massively. You know, I think if you look at Ronald Koeman already at Everton, you could see some improvement on certain players. If you look at Pep, whether that's just be by moving the player around a bit, like he did with Silva and De Bruyne, by playing them a bit more box to box, or a bit more centrally, whatever. Even Kolarov at the weekend, and I know it was, you know, it was only Bournemouth, but Bournemouth were, I thought, good going forward. Even if you know they got battered, but still I thought they were good. Kolarov looked like a complete different player. Even Clichy, you know, and he's with those players. It's not just about spending 50 million on Sané and 25 million on Gundogan and this and that. It's also being able to improve the players you already have. Because on Saturday, and even at Old Trafford, there was not many new players that started the game. But those players look completely different than they were last season or the season before.
Julien, can I confirm, have you finished?
Sorry, I have finished.
You let him finish.
I'm letting him finish. Yeah. We've let him finish.
Thank you, boys.
Oliver Kay.
Yeah, no, I agree with what Julien was saying. It's just that with Guardiola, a lot of people said when he came in, oh, he's going to get a shock when he comes to the Premier League. Oh, you know, it's...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig.
underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
It's not like the Bundesliga, it's not like La Liga where it's walkovers every week. And it has been walkovers a lot of the time so far with them. They, you know, they've scored over four, four or five in half of their games so far. And people were suggesting that, because of the strength of the Premier League mid-table, it's going to be different over here. And he's making a mockery of that. He and his players are showing that the Premier League isn't as strong as people were suggesting, or big teams were making it look last season by stumbling over each other and stumbling over themselves. If you're able to take really good players to a really high level, which I don't think any manager has done previously over the last few years, this is what you can do. Because Man City against Bournemouth, it should be a mismatch, and it is a mismatch, but these kind of games weren't mismatches last season when all the big teams were underperforming. I think what Guardiola has done is probably open people's eyes a little bit to just how good the players at the top clubs are compared to the players at mid-table clubs.
They did start well. Like, I think they won the first five games last season City, yeah. and then struggled.
Did you not see a difference?
Yeah, there is a difference. But can they keep this? The pace have gone up. You know, the Premier League is different. People say, oh, it is different to Bundesliga and La Liga. There's many different reasons for that. Can they keep it? Time will tell. But at the moment, so good so far for Man City.
No, just because Man City got, I think, 68 points last season. The scoring rate just went down and down under Pellegrini. And they underperformed terribly. I see them getting 15 to 20 more points than that this season. High 80s, maybe low 90s. They look like a really good team. I don't think this team is going to just fizzle out as Pellegrini's did.
And Aguero is not even there. You know, and nope. Iheanacho is very good, and, you know, he's young, and but they don't even have their best player. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, good points. James, did you ever do a very classic football thing of the rutting stag headbutt, where your head is already attached to the other head, but then you push in, so you don't lean back and really go for it? The Nolito was a classic example of this. Did you ever?
I've done a lot of things. One thing I've never done. Don't see that would be maybe before the modern era. It would be an elbow off the ball, okay, and you'd know about it.
But you never headbutted.
No,
never headbutted anyway. Now, interestingly, and I wonder if anyone can help me with this. I spent a good hour of a radio show discussing this without getting a definitive answer. Jonathan Moss gave Nolito a rectangular red card, whereas at Hull, Roger East gave Jake Livermore a round red card. And I don't like the round red card because it doesn't seem as authoritative. And when a red card is brandished, it should have lots of angles. For me, does anybody know why? Because I was given some theories.
What were the theories? I've never given it the slightest thought.
One theory was you're given round cards if you've been in the Champions League as a ref and you sort of, you know, you flash them about, which I'm not sure is true. Another is that potentially Roger East is colourblind, and so then to be sure of which card he's actually handing out, one has a different shape to the other one. But I didn't see enough of the game to see if his yellow card was rectangular or round. Otherwise, it could just... I'm not sure if actually... Then we got onto the stage of, does it really matter what shape it is? And could you have a triangle?
No, you can't have... It's not acceptable to have a round red card. Where's that from? You know, in France, you call... we've got other names for the cards.
Okay.
Same in Italy, which I believe we said the biscotte, because it's the size of a you know, the biscotte that you have at breakfast, for example.
Fine.
It's that rectangular. Same with Italy, they call it biscotte.
Maybe that's he's confused because he thought
it's
a biscuit, like a hobnob, is round, isn't it?
Is it a biscuit or biscotte?
Yeah, biscotte. Biscotti.
Oh, biscotti.
But you mean a
biscotti in Italy? Yeah. No. The biscotti is like a rectangular sort of piece of bread that you can have a breakfast in your coffee and this and that. That's the nickname. But unless you left it at home and then you realise, I don't have the red card. Wow, what can I do? And you find, you know those thing where you put your mug on the table? Where,
like a coaster.
Coaster. Mm. And you said, yeah, that's perfect. And then colour it in all red.
Yeah, maybe.
And then, you know, he never thought he would have to give a red, but he had to.
Anyway,
Max, could I just take us back a bit? You mentioned you hypothesised that maybe Roger East was colourblind.
Mm-hmm.
I think if that was the case, that would be a bit more of a story, don't you?
For a referee.
I think.
Yes, but colourblindness is not.
I'm pretty sure he's not.
But, you know, colourblindness is a. Because I thought it was like a red green thing. And so obviously you could tell between yellow and red cards. It's just when you gave a red card, it would sort of merge in with the pitch. That would be an issue. Anyway, I did this on the radio yesterday. I got abuse for belittling colour blindness, which is obviously not what I was planning to do. I was just interested. I haven't got the answers yet. I should spend more time on the internet finding it out for the next time I'm here. What did we make of Arsenal, Julien?
I thought they were very good. I thought it was maybe one of their best performances of the season. They were very disappointed, I thought, in Paris on Tuesday against PSG in the Champions League. They were too exposed at the back. I just think offensively it didn't really work. But it worked, I thought, on Saturday, both defensively and offensively. And
how's Mustafi started? Is he the? I was going to say the real deal, but I didn't want to use that phrase because it's a terrible cliche. Is he the real deal?
Yeah, I think it's a good signing. He's only 24. He has the leadership and the steel that they needed. Koscielny is 31, turned 31 10 days ago. So it's just, yeah, I think they needed someone like him. Matisaka is going, I don't think, holding and Chambers are ready. Gabriel is injury prone a bit. So I think they needed him. Maybe they paid a little bit too much, but I think he's good and him and Koscielny will be very good, I think.
Speaking of that red card, whatever the shape of it, should it have definitely been a red? Because it was a handball and the ball was going in, but the keeper was directly behind him and probably would have saved it. James?
No, it shouldn't have been a red card.
Okay. Do we all agree on that?
I do.
Ollie?
Well, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because, you know, are you punishing the act or the like the consequence of I don't know. I feel it. There are so many grey areas about handballs and that kind of thing. That's without being colourblind. So
I've seen them given, is what you're saying. A lovely goal from Xhaka, wasn't it?
I prefer the one from Walcott, though. I think the pass from Iwobi is outstanding. And it's that Iwobi played between the lines a lot in that game, which I think one was lacking against PSG and two has been lacking too much this season. And I could see Iwobi starting a lot of games this season because he offers them that you know, that others don't do. Others, you know, when you play against a team that is really well organised at the back and all behind, I think you need someone like Iwobi who, maybe because of his age or maybe because he's kind of new, if you want, in this team and in the way they're playing, that bring you that and others again, I think a bit one-dimensional sometimes.
James, Mike Phelan apparently to be given the job at Hull. That seems like the right decision, doesn't it?
Does seem like the right decision. I think he's done a fantastic job, Mike, because it's been absolute chaos behind the scenes at Hull, and I think he's kept them together. They've got 7 points on the board, which will hold them in good stead throughout the season. It will just keep them bubbling up, and he deserves his chance. He's been in football a long time, you know, as I mentioned, like a long time, worked under Sir Alex, and I think everybody would wish him well there. It's got a tough job on his hands. It ultimately will be all about survival. Can they do it? Maybe they can just about do it.
We've mentioned Ronald Koeman already as a forward-thinking manager who's doing a good job. Second in the league, Everton, 3-1 over Middlesbrough. Ollie, would you like to give praise to Gareth Barry for reaching 600 appearances? It's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive, isn't it? I mean, he seems to be one of these players who's never injured, but is remembered probably chiefly in England for a tournament at which a World Cup tournament, which he turned up injured and probably shouldn't have been taken, but you know, played when he was not fit and got the run around and is unfairly castigated because of that. But if you look at his club career over whatever it is, 18 years, it's just been so consistent, so steady, and he is one of these players that, you know, we talk a lot about lately about intelligent midfielders and the difference between one type and another. But if Barry is one of those rare English midfielders who probably thinks first. And he's not as dynamic as some have been, certainly not as creative as some have been, but he's been a really decent player, and particularly since he went to Everton for what people might have imagined would be a sort of comfortable couple of years. He's been really good.
What's Ronald Koeman done? A lot of people saying that
sort of backhanded criticism of Martinez, saying, will people turn up on time now? And things that you sort of would expect to be happening anyway.
You're not good, you get off at half-time, Ross Barkley. It doesn't mean you're not going to start the next game, Ross Barkley, again. But I think Koeman brought that discipline. I think they're working harder than they used to under Roberto Martinez. And I think, again, like Pep, I think for me, he has the ability to improve players very quickly already, whether that's tactically, whether that's physically, technically as well. And I think that's how well they work. And I think he also made clever signings. I think Idrissa Gueye, who, by the way, has Ghana on the back of his shirt, which is his grandfather's name, who died a couple of years ago, as a tribute to his granddad, he has Ghana. His name is not Ghana. His name is Idrissa Gueye. You know, they picked him up for $7 million. For me, he's one of the signing of the summers, without a doubt. He was outstanding, I thought, again, this weekend, like the game before. And all around, I think Ashley Williams, I was talking with Rio Ferdinand about it the other day, he said that was a no-brainer.
Excellent name dropping.
There, no, but it's true. It's a no-brainer.
Were you at dinner with Claude Puel and Rio?
No, I was working on a television channel with Rio. And he said, I can't believe no one else went for Ashley Williams apart from Everton. And yeah, I'm not surprised why. And him and Jagielka, I thought, did really well again. So I was a bit harsh on Koeman. I don't know if Oli remembers. Maybe, I think, at the start of last season. Couldn't see it. I have to say that I think he's outstanding with his job at Everton so far.
Oli, do you remember Julien's criticism of Ronald Koeman back in 2015, 14?
I wasn't listening to what Julien yes. said now.
You rarely are. You rarely are.
What's a good season for Everton, James?
Top seven.
And should do that, shouldn't they?
I think it'd be hard. I think if you look at the quality. One of the big guns, Arsenal, Man City, Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs, but even there's going to be a failure somewhere, isn't it? And I think it's up to teams like Everton to capitalise on that, which they have done so far. Can they keep it up? You know, time will tell. But I think he's just added a bit of steel to the team, hasn't he, Koeman?
It normally takes about 2 or 3 months for West Brom to score 4 goals. So it was quite impressive that they did it all in, I don't know, 50, 60 minutes or something against West Ham. And a brilliant double handball from Masuaku. Is that how I pronounce it? I love the fact he gives away the handball for the free kick. That's not enough. So he sticks his hand out again and gives away a penalty. Just a great minute for a professional footballer. How impressed were we with West Brom, Oli?
Yeah, impressed by them. And Chadley looked very good. And he's one of those players who had excelled previously in Belgium and went to Tottenham and probably didn't really fulfil his potential there, but looks much better as a bigger fish in a small pond or smaller pond at West Brom. And it's strange, you know, all the criticism of Tony Pulis and the football he plays and negativity and so on, and then they pull that performance out of the bag. But fair to say, it looked reasonably easy to score 4 goals against that West Ham back four on Saturday. Their defending looked absolutely appalling.
Is this a crisis at West Ham, Julia? Because they were saying, you know, we're the side. It wasn't Everton or you know, anyone else. They were the side to capitalise on one of the top teams doing badly.
But you knew that the second season was always going to be more difficult and always going to be tougher. But like Oli said, the defending was comical. And not just Masuaku on the goal, but every time in James Collins, everything. For me, it's all about the balance of the team. You can't just think about attacking. It just doesn't work like this. Football doesn't work like this anymore. You're going to get punished, even by West Brom. You know, Kouyaté can't just think about, he's a box-to-box midfielder, I get that, but he can't just think about being in one box, not the other, because box-to-box, there's two boxes. You know, if you spend your time trying to get to one box, but not trying, you know, tracking back to get into the other box, and Noble can't defend or can't protect that back four, who's already poor without Winston Reid, all on his own. And I think Slaven Bilic has a lot of things to sort out pretty quickly, because he could get from bad to worse.
James, you've been studying the statistics from this game.
I have been indeed. So if you look at the stats from the weekend, I think it gives you, on the West Ham performance here, it gives you quite a clear picture. 613 passes, 71% possession, and they're 4 goals down. Mm. Which tells, like Julien says,
what does that tell us? They were not kicking it in the right direction.
It tells you that they had 600. No, it tells you that they were wide open, wasn't it? They obviously got a lot of play, they're going forward, but they're 29 possession, West Brom, 253 passes. Obviously, West Brom are more direct. It would see that they've got a lack of protection in front of their back four.
Antonio scored more headers, I think, than any other team in the Premier League.
And they've done more Rabonas than anyone as well in the league. But Rabonas don't win you a game. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't agree with Troy Deeney that they shouldn't have done a Rabona when it leads to a goal. I mean, that leads to a goal, it's fine from the week before.
I think Troy Deeney was talking about the Lanzini one, okay. Not the Payet one. Payet one, he can cross it with his left. I think it's the same outcome. He chose to do the Rabona. Lanzini is taking the mic. Because Lanzini has to shoot with his left foot. Yeah. There's no need for him to do the Rabona the way he shot on the edge of the box. And it's a complete miss as well. And I think that's probably the one that would wind you up more than the Payet one.
Ollie?
Julian, I was just going to ask if you could offer West Ham's fans any kind of reassurance about Masuaku, because his performance looked absolutely sort of comical. I mean, there was not only the handballs, but there was that sort of vertical clearance, which was perhaps one of the worst moments I've seen for a Premier League footballer. But if he won, I mean, I remember Patrice Evra having a very dodgy debut. Obviously, you know, another French left back. Yeah. I mean, is from what you know of him in France as well as in Greece, is he a much better player than he looked on Saturday?
He's a better player than Saturday. I don't think he's a very, very good player. I don't think he's good enough to play for West Ham. They bought him because of Cresswell's injury, obviously, and I think it was a bit of a panic buy. Who can we get? That's why they paid over the odds, to the point that they've opened an investigation on why they paid so much for someone who can, you know, do what he did with that vertical kick and those two handballs in the space of 30 seconds. But I think he's a good player. Again, give him a bit more time. I think the plan was never to... Well, he's typically the kind of player that you don't just throw like this in the Premier League, because it will lead to disaster, as we see. It was someone who would have needed to be, you know, brought in like slowly, if you see what I mean. And I don't think he was ready for the start of the season.
I don't know. I think we need more up and unders, to be honest, in the Premier League. Leicester 3, Burnley 0. Two goals for Slimani, is it? I'm sad because I love Okazaki so much, just because he burns himself out in 60 minutes because he refuses to stop sprinting at all times. But, you know, looks like he's done his job there, James, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a record signing, 30 million. You'd expect that, wouldn't he? It's very, very good aerially. And I think his first header certainly attacks the ball exceptionally well. I think it's interesting for Leicester. If you look at them, they had a great result in the Champions League. It's going to be a really exciting season for them, because I think they'll qualify at the Champions League group. But I actually think the squad now is better than what it was last season.
Really?
Yeah, they've lost Kanté, which is a massive blow in midfield. But I think their squad is capable of going on and doing good things again.
There were a couple of times where Drinkwater played that quick through ball to Vardy and he's through. And I was thinking, how have they been sucked, Burnley, into playing a high line? Well, surely, I thought last season, teams kept playing a high line against Leicester because it was only Leicester, up to the point where they'd even won the Premier League and people were going, we can still get this. And I thought this season everyone would just sit and say, come on then. But Burnley didn't seem to do that, Ollie.
Yeah, it must be very hard to keep playing deep when it's not your instinct to do that and to avoid leaving space behind. I mean, it's you know, Leicester are probably a team who, in a way, can lull you into a false sense of security. And they are so good at on the counter-attack, and with the players they bought this summer and Moussa in particular, they might even be better on the counter-attack in some ways this season. So it probably did look a little bit naive from Dyche and Burnley, but they're not really that sort of team. They play quite intelligently in the main, so it's probably a case of Leicester doing what Leicester do.
Finally, Friday night, Chelsea 1, Liverpool 2. Julien Laurent.
That was good. That was very good, I thought, especially the first half for Liverpool. I thought they were outstanding. We talked a lot about managers today, I think, and I think Klopp deserves a lot of credit. It's the flexibility that I like. It's those players that he had, that he put together, can almost play in every position. And for me, that's the next evolution is you're going to have players who can play anywhere. They can play right back, they can play central midfielder, they can play attacking right midfielder, they can play attacking left midfielder. No, not in goal, maybe, but they can play right wing. Adam Lallana, for me, he's the modern football player. He can play he's right-footed, left-footed. He can play anywhere from... I would even fancy him as a holding midfielder. I think the guy can do everything. He's so clever as well. And I think Klopp has seen that, and all the players Klopp has bought were players who could potentially swap position everywhere almost on the pitch.
James,
and I think for me, that's the recipe of the success.
Could you play anywhere, James?
I could play up front, I could play midfield, I could
FIFA, yeah,
break
on PlayStation.
On PlayStation.
Ollie, when Henderson lined up to take that shot, did you envisage it nestling in the top corner?
No, certainly not. But he did have a run about I think it's probably about 2 or 3 years ago when Liverpool were on the up and when everything they were touching seemed to be flying into the net. It was he did go through a fairly prolific, relatively speaking, run then, and he scored some really nice goals then. But it's still a surprise when you see England's Jordan Henderson do that.
Yeah, but I mean, in patches, Liverpool have totally battered Arsenal and Spurs and now Chelsea. Not for the whole game in any of those, but and Leicester
as well. Yeah, and I think the stat was they scored 15 goals from outside of the box, more than anyone else since Klopp arrived. Which again is a sign. Why don't people stop shooting? Why are people stop shooting?
Do you know what we do on 11? So I still play Saturdays, very low level. And when you look at the keeper and he's short, everyone goes, get some shots in, test the keeper. But if the keeper looks big, no one goes, do you know what? We probably shouldn't shoot today,
exactly,
lads, because he looks 6'4" and we won't have any chances. I've got a question.
It's a very German thing. And in the Bundesliga, that's why you see so many goals, long-range shot from outside of the box, because they encourage them to shoot a lot. Probably because German keepers are rubbish, but also because, you know, if there's no space, there's no you can't see a breakthrough. You can't see. Just try it.
Have
it
a
might
go.
Not. Yeah,
with these modern fangled footballs,
Henderson can try again 99 times. He won't do the same one. It won't go exactly the same trajectory. The same. You know, it probably will miss most of them. But he tried this one. It worked. Why not?
You were just sighing, James, or
what's to say? If you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the raffle.
Yeah. I have a question for you, gentlemen. I don't know if you did your predictions at the start of the season. What did you, and what were your top fours that you went for 5 games ago?
We did one.
We did, and a famous Gabriel Marcotti had Man City coming fifth.
Yeah, I would say the top four.
Okay. What were yours?
I think I went City, United, Tottenham and Liverpool.
I went United, City, Chelsea, Liverpool.
Ollie?
I went City, United, Chelsea, Arsenal.
And are you all sticking to those now?
Yeah.
Yeah?
For now.
Oh. I thought United, I mean, I still think United can still win the league because I thought Pep would take a bit more time to make his team amazing. But
On the Pep thing, if they do go on a bit of a run, a bad run, has he got a plan B?
I think he has. I think he's incredibly flexible in terms of what he does with his team. I mean, he doesn't change the overall approach in terms of pass, press. But you know, he will. I mean, you've seen already. He's trying different formations, playing players in different positions. I think he's far more flexible than I think flexible is one of the main characteristics of Guardiola and of his teams. I don't see a big dip coming in the City.
Finally, Ollie, before I let you go, have you ever interviewed the MK Dons chairman, Peter Enkelman?
Isn't Peter Enkelman the ex-Villa keeper?
I'm going to hopefully they edit that out. Do you know what? I've said that so many times. You can keep it in, Dave, I don't mind. Have you ever interviewed the MK Dons chairman, Peter Winkelmann?
I have never interviewed Peter Enkelman. I've never interviewed Winkelmann. Engelbert Humperdinck. No, I haven't. Is it a leading question?
Well, no, I'm going off to interview him for the excellent Fantasy Football Club on Sky later, and I thought you could do my research for me, but it turns out I'll have to do it myself. Yep. Thanks for your time, Molly. I had a lovely time.
Thank you. I'll get back to Yoga.
Top man. James, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Julien?
You let's see the town.
Yeah, why not? It's like the end of First Dates when they're getting the taxi together. Good night, was it? Says the driver. And we go, Soho, please. All right, cheers. Look, Gav will be back next week. Have a wonderful time, too.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.